The state legislature is continuing on the legislative session. We just have a few weeks left in the regular session. Hopefully they won't be an extra one, but we'll see. Joining us now is Christy Purcell from District 58A. Good morning, Christy.
Good morning, Jeff. I'm glad to be in the studio. I'm also very glad this is just an audio medium.
Well, it's Friday morning, and you don't have to. You're not at the state legislature yet today. Are you going in today? Or
I'm
going to
go in. We are actually done with all of our omnibus bills. Mm-hmm. So we do not have floor session, but I'm going to go up just for a short time. We've been doing 12 or 13-hour long floor sessions last night, although we adjourned early at 9 p.m., so I got to come home, but I'm definitely going to have to catch up on some rest over the weekend.
Now, the omnibus bills are all done. Now they go into conference committee, I'm presuming. Are you, have you been chosen for a conference committee? Or?
Yes, I got chosen for the Ag Committee. Mm-hmm. So I have not quite figured out how this whole thing works yet, but I heard from our chair that we'll be meeting Monday. So we'll get started then with three senators and three of us reps to start hammering out the differences in the two bills.
Have you had the opportunity yet to see what the Senate's version is?
No, that's what I'm going to go do when I head up today, is work with our research staff so that they can sort of help me out. And then I think when we do get together, hopefully Monday, we'll sort of do side-by-sides to say, here's what the budget looks like in the House bill. Here's what it looks like in the Senate bill, just to get all of us on the same page and then start hammering out the differences.
Have you heard at all over the course of the session if they have any, I guess, priorities that they that the Senate would have that the House wouldn't? Or do you seem like you're on the same page? Just a feeling.
Yeah, I know that. So a couple of like kind of the top line items, like the with the highest dollar amounts, the big one that's coming to mind for me is the grain indemnity fund. So this is a pool of money that's for our grain elevators. So how this has worked in the past is that if a grain elevator fails, these elevators have to be bonded. It's like insurance. But then what happens is the farmers drop off their grain. They don't get paid immediately, and then we've seen some very high-profile elevator failures or bankruptcies. So then the farmers, not only they don't have their grain, and they don't have their pay. And how bonding has worked is that they only pay out 11 cents to the dollar. So the farmer is really up a creek because they don't have their product, and they don't get paid. We heard stories from one farm family who was caught in two of the two most recent elevator failures in Minnesota. Pipeline, I think in 2018 is the one that I remember that day when they declared bankruptcy, and it was just a total totally devastating for the farmers in the area. So the grain indemnity fund is this pool of money that the state holds on to, and that if this happens, we make farmers whole. And then it's kind of a rotating fund. The Senate bill, I believe, has $14 million to get that fund started. I think our version of the bill has five. So that's sort of a bigger top line one that we'll have to sort out.
You'd mentioned there has been a couple of defaults by the grain elevators. Is it more common these days? Does that happen more often?
I don't know the full sort of history of it to be able to compare, but I know when we heard about this in committee, there was like five or six in the last decade, probably. So that feels like a lot. Certainly feels like too many when one of those elevators, you know, disappears, it impacts our small communities. It impacts, of course, all the farmers in the area too.
So the House has passed all their omnibus bills. We're talking about, you know, the ag bill, human services,
commerce
schooling.
And taxes was yesterday. Health, public safety and judiciary kind of got smushed together. Gosh, there's been so many over the last 2 weeks.
Well, yeah, if you look over the course of those, what sticks out for you? What do you feel like something that the House has in maybe one of their bills that you support and really feel like we need to do?
Yeah, well, the health bill, there were a number of my constituents from Northfield who came up because when they were hearing it in the Senate, our health bill has an expansion of Minnesota Care, the state insurance plan, which my family has been on in the past, and removing the income threshold so that anyone can buy into it, and it would be kind of priced on a sliding scale. So that's a super important element for me. In the Senate, they have that provision as well. However, the big difference about that in our bill is that in the House, we have it that anyone can buy on regardless of your immigration status. In the Senate version, it's only children who might be undocumented. So I think it's really important that, I mean, it behooves all of us that all of us could be insured. We know that with driving and having driver's licenses be accessible to all the folks who are driving, and making sure that there's not a segment of our communities that are only going to the emergency room and might be uninsured. And that is not great for their own health and well-being. And it's not great for all of us as a society. We all pick up that tab.
Representative Christy Purcell is with us from District 58A. What now, as far as the legislature goes? We're heading into the conference committees. Outside of the, I mean, is that pretty much it, what's going to be going on next week? Or will there be some other details or duties to do?
I've been trying to figure this whole part of the process out. So it sounds to me like next week we will be confirming the regents for the University of Minnesota. Apparently that's a joint session, so senators have to be in the room as well, and it takes some time because we can't just do the slate of candidates. I think there's 4 positions open, and it's a voice vote, so they call the person's name, and you have to say yay or nay on every single person, and it's not just the 134 representatives. It's also the 70 senators. So I heard that's just takes a long time. So I think we're doing that Monday, I believe, when we adjourned last night, that was announced. So we're doing that. And then I think one of the last bills that we have yet to hear is the paid family medical leave. So that is coming up next week as well. I guess a standalone bill that we heard this week that folks might be seeing headlines about is in the House, we passed the cannabis bill, and today they are taking that up in the Senate. So I don't know if there'll be other standalone bills like that, but maybe. So that's above my pay grade.
That marijuana bill is a standalone bill.
Yes.
Hmm.
Yep.
All right.
And because it establishes an agency itself, it's a big bill. It's the biggest one that I have seen as far as like number of pages and complexity. But that was standalone in our chamber this week, and then today we'll be going through the Senate.
It went through 16, 17 committees on its
all
way.
Of them. Yep, pretty much.
And it wasn't just this spring.
No, nope.
That dates back a couple of years
as
well.
Uh-huh.
So it's been a long time in the works.
Yes, exactly.
Once again, Representative Purcell is with us. What about talks on bonding? Is that just kind of put on hold for the short term? Are there people working on that behind the scenes?
I hope so, because this is another area where I'm trying to learn a lot. Northfield has our proposal for the last section of the Milltowns Trail in the bonding mix. And it was in the earlier version of bonding that we kind of called the 2022 version because nothing was passed last year. We passed it out of the House. It did not pass in the Senate. So bonding needs 2/3 majority. We had a cash-only bill, and then we had sort of the more traditional bonding bills that passed bipartisanly out of the House, died in the Senate, and now It's a little bit of a mystery to me of what is going on with those now. But I'm trying as best I can to be in touch with the chair and sort of keep an ear out what's happening with that.
Representative Brissell, is there anything else you'd like to mention while we have you here?
Well, yesterday I got to go to my first bill signing, and it was a 3-for-1. So the governor yesterday signed the bill for trans refuge abortion repealer of some of the laws on the books that actually have been struck down by the Supreme Court as unconstitutional, and then a ban on conversion therapy. So that was I didn't know if I would ever get invited to another bill signing. We'll see. But I got invited to my first one. So I went to that yesterday and watched the governor and lieutenant governor and, you know, all sorts of other folks give speeches. I was just a warm body in the back of the room, but that was exciting to be part of.
Good to witness.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much for coming in, Christy. Much appreciated. And we'll talk to you again next week.
And hopefully in person again. I hope to be spending a little more time in district now that hopefully we're not going till midnight every night. So
all right.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Christy Purcell, District 58A State Representative. You're listening to 95.1 FM and AM 1080. We're streaming online at kymnradio.net.